This is a story that was taken from the Gospel of Luke. In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, was a priest named Zechariah of the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in the eyes of God, observing all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in age. Once, when he was serving as priest in his division, turned before God, according to the practice of priestly service, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and to burn incense. Then, when the whole assembly of people was praying outside at the hour of incense offering, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing right in front of the altar of incense. Now, Zechariah was troubled by what he saw, and fear came over him. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. John will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to God. He will go before him, and in him the spirit of the power of Elijah will turn the hearts of all towards the children of God, and the disobedient to understanding of righteousness, to prepare the people to open the way for the Lord." My brothers and sisters, this is the good news of Jesus. So, today is the feast of was the feast of the Nativity of John the Baptist. Who was John the Baptist? Was he a wild man? Was he a wise man? Or was he both? John, as an adult, lived an ascetic life in the Judean wilderness, a desert ascetic life. His life and appearance recalled the prophetic traditions of the Old Testament. He wore camel's hair. He wore a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild honey. Wild man, hey? And, you know, he could have starred, from what we hear from the scriptures, in one of those survival TV series. But according to the scriptures, he was not attached to things that society felt was important to be attached to. He lived in that ascetic life, and he seemed to understand what was important and what was valuable to hold on to, what was substantial. He was not attached to the things that were not substantial. He learned how to let it go. And I think that's something I need to learn. How do I let go of the stuff that's not substantial and really cling on to what is substantial? Well, the scriptures goes on to say, the word of God came to this wild man in the wilderness, and he listened. Do we listen when God speaks to us in our wilderness? He was a wise man, and we would be wise if we did the same. You see, it's in the wilderness that we find ourselves at times that we need to listen the most. That's where we're forced to let go sometimes, to hear God speak. So, after hearing God speak, John went to the region of the Jordan. He began to preach a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sin. John called the people to prepare the way of the Lord. He calls us, prepare the way of the Lord. And many people received John's baptism and that repentance, and they included Jesus. Remember, Jesus came to be baptized by him too. So what did that repentance and righteousness look like? I think sometimes we get that confused. Because when the people asked him, well, what are we supposed to do? He said some very simple things. He said, share your clothes and your food with the needy. That's repentance. And that's forgiveness of sins. So the tax collectors came to him and said, what are we supposed to do? And he said, collect no more than what's appointed. Don't rip people off. That's righteousness. And the soldiers came to him and said, well, what are we supposed to do? And he said, don't rob the people and don't make false accusations against them. Doesn't sound like it's too hard to do, eh? And that's what we're called to do. Repentance and forgiveness of sins is about sharing what we have with those who are in need. It's about giving back to those around us. It's about not taking more than we're supposed to. Now, the tough one is that we're not supposed to do false accusations. You know, when we judge each other and we judge other people, false accusations about listening to people. The people of his time asked John who he was. And he said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm a voice in the desert crying, make straight the way of the Lord. John acknowledged that he was not the Christ, that he would need the decrease. Is the Christ increase? Isn't that kind of what we're supposed to do? Decrease our arrogance, decrease our egoic self, decrease the things that put us as being special, and allow the Christ to come up through that and to be part of that. That was the first part of what John did. And he did that by talking to us. The second thing he did, and he asks us to do by example, I believe, is he criticized Herod the Tetrarch for his incestuous marriage with Herodias and other things that he was about. John was imprisoned because of that. And he was later executed because Herodias said, I want his head on a platter. Now that takes a lot of guts. He spoke truth to power, and he calls us to speak truth to power to the people of today. So what are the lessons we learn? The lessons of this wise man is learning how to understand what is truly valuable in our lives and what is not. It's about attachment and detachment. You know, as I grow older, I've come to be aware of my own process of understanding detachment and attachment. Cleaning out the barn again. And I'm going, why the heck did I keep that stuff? Why did I have that? Going through my closet and going, what am I keeping all this stuff for? Why do I have this accumulation of stuff? I'm attached to it for some reason that doesn't make sense. And I think that's what he's talking about. What are the egoic stuff, you know, where my ego wants to hold on to? That I get in an argument with somebody and I got to be right. How can I let that go? There's a constant need to grow in that understanding and that awareness, to learn that it's part of a process to understand the meaning of what John the Baptist was saying with repentance and preparing the kingdom of God. It's understanding that we're all one in this, not just with each other, but with people who we disagree with, people who we argue with, people maybe who hurt our feelings and we want to hurt him back. We need to let go of that and seek to understand what was the pain that they were going through. Thich Nhat Hanh, he calls it non-attachment. And that's not being aloof, he says. It's actually coming closer. Loving yourself is not striving to get everything you want. As commercially that one commercial goes, it's mine and I want it now. Too often, that's what we're taught in our society, and we grab that those things. It's letting go and not holding on to what the truth is. to have that desert aesthetics. Richard Rohr says, that awareness allows us to share our clothes and our food with the needy. He goes on to say, all great spirituality is about letting go. It trains us in both detachment and attachment. Detachment from what we know or need to know is passing away, and holding on to and attaching ourselves to what's really substantial, what's not going to pass away. And that's a hard thing to do. That stuff that we hold on to gets in the way. What am I holding on to that is not substantial? You know, what I think Thich Nhat Hanh is saying is that when I give my clothes and my food to the needy, I'm not given something that's already theirs. It's already theirs because we're meant to be one in this life. When I tried to take a lie of illusion that's around me, that it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. You know that how that seabird called mine, mine, mine. It's not an easy concept for us to do, but yet that's the sharing that we want. It's understanding that we're all in this as one together, along with all the universe. I remember when I raised sheep, there was a Muslim man. He used to come and to get lambs. And he would say, is it okay if I slice the lamb here? And what he meant, he would cut the lamb and bleed it out, and then he would butcher it there. Well, one day, his 11-year-old, 12-year-old son was there. And he said, Papa, can I slice the sheep? And he says, only if you say the prayer. And I said, what's the prayer? And the kid was a little embarrassed, and he says, what we say is, I thank Allah for the life that Allah gave me and the life that this lamb is giving to me, that I might have life. You see, he said, the lamb lives on in me. It was a connection that we continue on. It's holding on to what's really substantial and letting go of what's not. That awareness allowed John to say to the tax collectors, do no more than is appointed to you. You know, for us people, for the most part, here we are in the United States, we're pretty comfortable compared to where things are in the rest of the world. And sometimes when we get too comfortable, we see this world as a world of net zero. But Thich Nhat Hanh calls it that it's non-zero understanding we need. When I gain, you don't lose. When you lose, I don't. We have to focus on that we both gain. That it's in that giving to each other and that we do that. That's how we grow in it. It's both and in that goodness. It allows us to be what John the Baptist says, don't rob or don't give false accusations. James Finley goes on to say, every time we catch ourselves getting reactive, or every time we catch ourselves acting as if the outcome of the situation has authority to my name of who I am, he said, I need to take a deep breath and remind myself that's not true. To be only hung up on outcomes is not the response that he's calling us to. Our culture wants us to live in a world of dominance, power over. You do what you need to do to get what you want. That's what the soldiers were doing of that day. And John the Baptist was saying, no, we need to have power with, power of love, power of wanting, awareness that the cosmic Christ is already there. And we need to share that with others. He also goes on and he criticizes the power that's there. That's the way we make room. In the busyness of our lives and in our centers where we live. It's in the death row of our country that believes it's right to sentence people to death. We need to call for change in that. It's in the homeless shelters that we have in this country. And we're a country of so much abundance that we can't find a way to build affordable housing. We need to call for change. It's in the prisons where we call ourselves the land of the free, and yet our country makes up 5% of the world's population, but 25% of the imprisoned population. We need to call for change, for restorative justice. It's in the violence that's perpetuated against our trans community, against the LGBTQ communities. We celebrate Pride Month this month, and we see the shootings that have happened already. We need to call for change. It's rallying behind women's rights. It's looking in the eyes of a hospice patient and being patient with them for wherever they know that they're going, as long as they know they're not going alone and that you're with them. It's trying not to leak energy when someone disagrees with you and you want to fight with them. See, it's in our everyday life that we need to do that. John the Baptist is saying, crying out in the desert, in our deserts, make straight the way of the Lord. In my research this week, I found it interesting that John is ranked, Bible like this, John is ranked only behind the Virgin Mary among all the saints of the Eastern Church. And in the prayer of the Eastern Church on the Nativity of John the Baptist, it says, follow his teaching of holy life and truly repent according to his preaching, so that we may constantly speak truth boldly and rebuke vice, patiently suffering for the sake of truth. It costs us sometimes when we got to call it out and be that. But that's what John the Baptist was saying. John points us to Jesus and gives us all kinds of new possibilities beyond fear, beyond anxiety, beyond regret, beyond anger and hate and scapegoating. Let's seek the here and now in our lives, the grace and the mercy that this new world that John was pointing us to. You see, he understood that he had a decrease so the Christ, the universal Christ, could increase. Let us do that same thing. Put ourselves in that position of making straight the way of the Lord in our lives today. I open up for your comments.